Hi, this is Eric Casta with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this podcast. I believe that God has a word of encouragement for you today. Now let's get to the message. You know, I've been so excited about this study on the book of Acts. The actual study is going to be called The Book of Acts, The Gifts and Operations of God. And today we're going to talk about the facts of Acts. You know, it's interesting. When you look at the book of Genesis, you understand where man came from. In fact, the book of Genesis covers almost 2,000 years of human history. When you go to the book of Acts, you begin to see God, his creative power, the purpose he has for man, the blueprint for man. And with the book of Acts, you also see many, many firsts. You see the first man, the first woman. You see the first sin. You see the first murder. You see so many firsts in the book of Genesis. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all in the book of Genesis. If you read it and study it, you get a good understanding of man. Now, when we look at the book of Acts, we understand where the church came from. We understand the power of the Holy Ghost. And the book of Acts is full of facts. So let's take a look at those facts and how they pertain to the church. And I tell you, it's going to be so exciting, this study. So now, the first fact is there are 132 manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Now, that is a lot of power being released into the earth. There are 64 operations of revelation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and we're going to study all this out. There are 57 operations of the gifts of power, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and miracles. There are 11 operations of the gifts of inspiration, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the Holy Spirit was not hiding. He is manifest in the book of Acts in the lives of the church. Now, the book of Acts is God's blueprint. It is the blueprint for believers, how we function together and move forward in the Great Commission. So now let's look at this. The book of Acts doesn't have a conclusion. The book of Acts covers approximately 30 years, about the same period of time of Jesus's earthly life. The book of Acts begins in Jerusalem, where the church is born, and it ends in Rome. There are 35 examples of harvest in the book of Acts. These harvests, meaning when people are born again, these harvest examples range from multitudes coming to Christ, households coming to Christ, or single individuals. There are 14 references to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are 7 occurrences of the ministry of angels. There are 23 references to resurrection. And there are 24 references to prayer. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to go through and we're going to study all of this out because it is all so important to understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the first century church. There are 31 references to persecution. There are 6 references to judgment. Some judgments ended in death, while others were of temporal impediment. There are 19 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. The book of Acts is the reality of God's love for the whole world. This love was demonstrated through the preaching of the gospel, which is still preached today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was administered supernaturally by the Lord himself, or by the Lord through his apostles, and by the Lord through laymen, such as Ananias. Every major breakthrough in church growth or direction came through the manifestation of the gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit. Only three chapters, chapters 17, 24, and 25, have no detail of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. The book of Acts is a historical record that deals primarily with the operations of the Holy Spirit to the church and through the church, rather than a record of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. Now, when it comes to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we look to the epistles because the message in the epistles primarily focuses on being in Christ, how to live and engage with each other in the love of God. The book of Acts is a book of the light of the Holy Spirit. So as we look at the book of Acts, we see the historical record. When we look to the epistles, we see how to walk in the love of God in our position in Christ. Now, the book of Acts is not a book concerning the church being the salt of the earth, but rather a historical example of the church being the light of the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is divided into two major divisions. The first division is the church in Jerusalem and the leadership of Peter and his ministry. The second division is the movement of the church westward into Europe and Rome, with the leadership of Paul. History shows us that both Peter and Paul, the two chief apostles, were martyred in Rome, therefore effectively showing the shift of the Christian power base from Asia to Europe, from Jerusalem, which would be destroyed in AD 70, to Rome. These two apostles were seeds planted into Europe. Now, all of the apostles went different directions with the gospel, but Peter and Paul were, all of the apostles went different directions with the gospel, but Peter and Paul's ministries were in line with Daniel's vision concerning the direction of the four world empires that would have an effect upon human history until the coming of Messiah. And what that simply means is when Daniel saw the vision of the statue, he saw Babylon, and the end of the statue, the bottom, was Rome. And Rome is that final empire that would have an effect upon Israel, the chosen people, as well as the effect of Rome upon all nations. Daniel described it in Daniel chapter 7 as a beast that he could not describe. So in this, the church, we are now functioning during that Roman Empire. And in that, God took these two chief apostles and planted them as seeds into Europe because he knew that those people, according to Noah's prophecy, the sons of Japheth would increase and they would extend all over the earth and have an effect upon their brothers. Now, when you read the book of Genesis and you look at what Noah said about his three sons, understand, those were not Christian prophecies. Those were prophecies spoken into the sons of Adam. Meaning these men weren't born again. When Christ came, he created one new man so that out of these families of these three sons, all men could come into Christ and create a new man. So when we look at the prophecy spoken over the sons of Japheth, we see that there is an aspect of these European peoples that would want to reach out, I mean, get into boats, shove off from the port, go somewhere they had never been before, get into a spacecraft, go to the moon, risk their lives. There was an aspect in these people that God knew he had to get the gospel into this people group so that with a change of heart, when these sons of Japheth would have a change of heart by the love of God, then they would discern the need in their brothers, whether it's the sons of Ham or the sons of Shem, and they would begin to reach out from their culture and begin to take the gospel and to plant Christ into these nations. So you can see through missions history how the missions movement, the primary thrust, has always come out of Rome. Now, when you read Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said something. He said, "And this gospel shall be preached." Now, when you look at the Greek, he says this: "This gospel shall be preached throughout the Roman Empire as a witness to all nations." He said that. He was speaking in line with Daniel's prophecy or his vision. And so you can understand that these two chief apostles had to be planted into Europe, into Rome, so that from that new Christian power base, the gospel would infuse itself into these very dark cultures and bring light. And as they began to grow in that light of the gospel, then they would reach out and have an effect upon the earth. So it's very important to understand that the book of Acts is a blueprint of the movement of the Holy Ghost. It's in line with Daniel's vision, and it gives us an example of what we're to be praying and believing for and conforming our lives into that operation. Last, there are five things that hinder the church from walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, lack of desire. 1 Corinthians 14:1. We are to desire. It's a command. You must desire these things. Number two, ignorance. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul said, don't be ignorant. Unbelief. Mark 16:14. Hardness of heart, Mark 16:14. Jesus came into the apostles. They were locked in a room. He rebuked them for their hardness of heart and for their unbelief. And last, it's prayerlessness. Luke 11:13, Luke 18:1. So we're commanded to pray. We're commanded to come before the throne of God with importunity and begin to ask Him for what is needed. And, you know, I love it. The Father of lights, the Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift comes down. Isn't that good? It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So it doesn't matter who you are. As you press into these things, God is the Father of lights. Now, that's very powerful because, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this episode, but man was created to be a light. Now, our light comes from God, who is light. Jesus, who lights us up with His life. And when you read in the book of Revelation and you look at how the throne of God is described, often they use stones, some gems or some semi-precious stones. And when you look at the throne of God, the light that's coming out of God is the colors of semi-precious stones that have varying color. And when you look at man, why is man black? Why is man brown? Why is man white? Why, you know, why are these colors? It's because we were made in God's image, and the light that comes out of God is multifaceted. You know, God can't just shine on a black man. He can't just shine on a white man, because the light that's coming out of him is sparkling light, and it must reflect and refract upon us. We are lights, and we are a family And so that's what God created. And so God's desire is that this gospel goes to the ends of the earth upon the family of man, who we were created in his image, in his likeness, and we were created as lights. So he is the father of lights, and there is no variableness. He doesn't change, and there's no shadow of turning. Now, shadows of turning, I mean, just a side note, have you ever known someone that on Monday they act one way, and then on Tuesday they're a completely different person? And that's because many times there's a shadow in their life. And when that shadow comes into operation, then they begin to turn, okay? And as Christians, we need to take the Word of God and bring the light of that word, revelation, in the power of what God has said, and begin to change these areas in our lives so that we're full of light. Now, God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. So he doesn't have a variableness or a shadow of turning. He is who he is, and he doesn't change. And so these good and perfect gifts, they come down from above. And so it's very powerful. Now, let's take a look and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start to study these gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can begin to understand the book of Acts. It says this, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now, I tell you what, when you look at this verse, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, I mean, it's got so much in it. It talks about the body of Christ, who we are, the body of Christ. And so Paul opens up chapter 12, and we're going to spend a lot of time in chapter 12 over the course of these many teachings. And it's a chapter that if we understand it, then we begin to understand the power of the Holy Ghost in operation in the book of Acts. And I just want to remind you that every breakthrough, every directional change that came to the early church came through the manifestation of these gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit. So how important are these operations? They're very important. They're crucial. Actually, when you look at it, the book of Acts would be a very dull book without the operation of the Holy Spirit. So in our churches today, we've got to decide. We have to decide as Christians, are we going to become the religious? The world is full of religion. Are we going to be a people where the abiding power of God can rest upon us so that the Holy Spirit can direct the church into the great harvest fields in the earth. Now, I want to close with one scripture, and then we're going to pick up in the next episode about these administrations, the gifts, and the operations of God. But before I do, Matthew chapter 9, very, very powerful scripture, one of my favorite, and it says simply this. Jesus is talking, and he had been ministering. Verse 35, Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Chapter 10, 1. And when he called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So Jesus says the remedy to this harvest problem is that we're commanded to pray the Lord of the harvest. So Jesus introduces the power of prayer, that it is the foundation of coming before God and saying, God, there's a need. You already declared there's a need. So we are asking you that you would send forth laborers into this harvest. Now, as we pray, we don't get up too quick. We wait there so that in our praying, that our heart and the Holy Spirit begin to commune on a new level, where we begin to say, and Lord, here am I, send me. And so in this prayer, we see the book of Acts. It literally is the Lord answering this prayer in the earth by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which we're going to study this later, moving the church into the nations of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. The book of Acts is the birth of the church and the movement of the church into the nations of men in order to bring eternal life. So that's all for today. I want to thank you for tuning into this podcast. We're going to keep studying this topic on the book of Acts. And you can go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus is Lord. God bless you.